Every year, I'm amazed at people who run in the London Marathon. Something I would never do in a million years, I am a dedicated non-runner. But I watch them all line up at the start, and sometimes I admire them, and sometimes I think they're mad. But I am impressed. There are the serious runners who do hope to get a place. And there are many others who run for charity, and they run in costume. This year there was a man dressed as a tree in a sort of bendy pantomime outfit. These people are all running for a good reason, but they've probably got no hope of winning. Perhaps they've barely got a hope of even finishing. Why are they in the race at all? This passage isn't the only place where Paul compares the way he lives his life to a race. And apparently Corinth, the place which was home to the church he was writing to, was the centre for something called the Isthmian Games, which was second only to the Olympics and happened every 2 years. So the Christians who lived there would have been used to the spectacle of athletes training and competing. Paul talks about the games as something his readers would relate to. Whether we're into running or not, this picture is something that we can relate to. Our life is like a race. Why are we in the race? What are our hopes? What are our aims? We think about the purpose. Paul is in no doubt about his purpose and what he's doing in the race. He's there to win. He isn't going to run around aimlessly. He's very clear about his purpose and his direction. When he's writing to another church in Philippi, he tells them, "I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus." And another letter writer who wrote to the Hebrews talks about that idea of a race and says, let's throw off everything that hinders us and the sin that so easily entangles, and let's run with perseverance the race marked out for us, fixing our eyes on Jesus. You can't run seriously if you're not sure if you want to get to the end or not. My younger niece has just started in the sixth form. It's an exciting time. It's a different way of working. And it's a time when people are constantly asking her what she wants to do next. What will she study at university? And what will she do after that? Connie isn't sure about any of these things at the moment. And she was telling me and her mum recently about a friend of hers who seems to have got it all mapped out. She knows exactly what she's doing, she told us. Exactly what she's doing after that. And she's just got her whole life organised. We told her, it's all very well doing that, but if we follow Jesus, we need to allow him to guide us. We need to allow room for him to show us his purposes. Paul talks about running for a reason, about training, about focus. But it isn't about what we want and what we think would be the right thing to do. Our eyes need to be fixed on the one we're running for. We only need one purpose: to get on with the race Jesus is inviting us to run. Sometimes that might mean not doing what everybody else is doing, not having the same priorities as those around us. It might mean reassessing what we're doing to make sure it lines up with what we're called to do. There's a story about a man who walked around the great cathedral of St. Paul's when it was just a building site. And all kinds of workmen were busy, and he saw a stonemason at work and asked what he was doing. And the man scoffed at him. Wasn't it obvious? He saw a man busy carving wood and asked him, "What are you doing?" "What do you think I'm doing?" came the answer. And then he passed a boy sweeping up. "What are you doing?" he asked. The boy said, "I'm helping Sir Christopher Wren to build St. Paul's Cathedral."
If we're engaged with the race Jesus has called us to run, then we run it in the way he asks us to. It's about getting to the end in the way he wants us to, not about being important, not about fulfilling our personal goals. We might think what we're doing isn't high profile. He might ask us to do something that we'd really rather not do, but he sees our work and our race for what it is. Paul talks about not running aimlessly, not running as if we don't know where the finishing line is. We ask the Lord to show us the place he has for us in his plans, and then we do whatever it is he's asked us to do faithfully and with his help. It's very easy to get sidetracked, to get turned aside from our purpose. We get deflected because we see something else we'd like to run after, an aim or a goal that's not consistent with the call of Jesus on our lives. Sometimes, sadly, we feel like dropping out of the race altogether. We can forget why we're doing it. As a church, we can get discouraged, or we can find our energies taken up with stuff that isn't part of the race, like maintaining the way we always do things, failing to reassess if what we do lines up with the kingdom purposes. A friend of mine told me the story of how her daughter Sharon was determined to run a half marathon for a Christian children's charity. She has asthma, and that day it was really playing up. And despite some extra medication, on the day when the sun got hotter and hotter, she began to have trouble breathing. With 3 miles to go, she was so tight-chested that she was panicking and praying that she would have strength to finish the race. Suddenly, a man came up beside her. He told her that he wasn't running the race, but he'd come to run alongside her. She explained about the asthma, and he said he got asthma too, and he knew what it felt like. Step by step, he encouraged her up the last hill, talking her through it till she could see the finishing line. Then he said, "There you are. All those people are waiting to cheer you home. Off you go. I'll see you at the end of the race." Sharon said to her mum afterwards, "I can only think that the Lord sent an angel to help me." It certainly seemed like that. And Jesus knows how we feel about our race right now. He alone can make the weak strong and empower those who are ready to give up. Whatever we're struggling with, we should never take our eyes off his perfect example, his strength and his encouragement. He wants us to run the race his way, purposefully. We think about discipline. I read that most top athletes train twice a day, some 3 times a day, and some, like the Brownlee brothers, who won medals at London 2012, do 4 training sessions a day. How would they ever have time to do anything else? But that's what it means to be a serious athlete. It would have been the same for the athletes at the Games long ago in Corinth. Apparently, Roman athletes had to train for 10 months before they were allowed to compete. Paul talks about the strict training that's needed. He gives us a picture of working really hard physically, striking a blow to his body, a picture of his attitude of mind, keeping his body under control so he doesn't lose focus. When he talks about competing in the games in verse 25, he uses the Greek word agonismenos, which sounds like agony. And that's how most of us, certainly me, would view the idea of hard physical training. To be in a race, says Paul, to be committed to finishing and getting the prize, we need to be in training every bit as much as if we were in a physical race. We're not messing around here. Paul says he makes his body his slave, which is a picture of bringing his will under control so that he submits to what God wants in his life. There's plenty of advice online about getting fit. There are apps that give you different exercise workouts every day, sites full of testimonials from those who've achieved fitness by this method. We might feel we want to give something like that a go, But far more important is for us to be in training for the race we run as Christians. We need to be match fit because this race is serious. So what does it mean for us to be a disciplined and serious runner? It means training to be spiritually fit. It means focusing on faith to the exclusion of everything else, because faith in the Lord is the only thing worth having eternally. Being a Christian is not a hobby. It's not something we do in our spare time. It has to take everything we can give and everything that we are, because it is what we are. Jesus said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For whoever wants to save their life will lose it. But whoever loses their life for me and the gospel will save it. What good is it for someone to gain the whole world yet forfeit their own soul? He encounters people who say that they'll follow him when they've put their affairs in order and said goodbye to their family. And he tells them that they need to follow him now. He even talks about hating your family in order to become a disciple. Not literally, of course. But this shocking way of speaking reminds us that we need to regard all those things as less important than following him, less important than running the race. Does Jesus come first with us? Do we want to run his race more than anything else in the world? Do we want to spend time with him every day, reading his word, letting the Holy Spirit speak to us about his will in our lives? Do we seek to line up everything we do with the values and the call of the kingdom so that we have true integrity, that we're integrated, all of a piece, our commitment to him running through us like letters run through a stick of rock? Wherever you cut it, those letters are still there and they always spell the same thing. It sounds like very hard work. Just like those online workouts make me tired just reading about them. But of course, we don't run in our own strength. If we're committed to Jesus and to growing and developing in him, then we have his Spirit to help us. He tells us, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I'm gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, we need to be disciplined, but running needn't be hard work. The prophet Isaiah tells us, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. And then we think about glory. Those athletes at the games, says Paul, compete to get a crown that won't last. In those days, they didn't go in for medals. Instead, the winner got a crown of laurel leaves, and clearly that didn't last very long. Our race as Christians is for something quite different. Sally Gunnell, the Olympic track and field athlete, said, "Winning the Olympic gold was my ultimate goal. The feeling was amazing and difficult to put into words, seeing results for all my hard work and the sacrifices I'd made. The sense of achievement in winning that medal never goes away." Of course, somebody who's worked hard and given everything to their sport rightly feels a sense of pride in their success. But the glory that we're running towards isn't like that. It isn't something we can feel a personal pride in. Listen to an excerpt from another of Paul's letters, the one that he wrote to his young friend and fellow worker Timothy at the very end of his life when he knew he was about to die for his faith. "For I am already being poured out like a drink offering, and the time of my departure is near. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Now there is in store for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will award to me on that day, and not only to me, but to all who have longed for his appearing. And Paul uses the same Greek word there for crown as he does in our Corinthians passage. The reward that he knows he will get at the end of the race is the crown of righteousness. Instead of earning the prize he deserves at the end of the race by his own efforts, he's given something that he doesn't deserve. He's welcomed into heaven where he can only go because Jesus has made him righteous before God. It's as if you got to the end of the race and somebody else had won the medal for you, giving you the right to be called champion, giving you something you could never have earned by your own efforts. And he says that everyone who longs to see Jesus face to face will have the same crown. A lot of people think you have to be very good to go to heaven. They believe it's a reward for being good, something you can earn. With all this talk of striving and training and being disciplined and not giving up, we need to make sure that we don't think the same way. The reason we take part in this race with focus and determination is because we love Jesus and we want to live as he calls us to, but we are not earning our reward. That's there waiting for us at the end of the race, given to us by the grace of God because of what Jesus has done for us on the cross. Paul spent his life in the service of his Lord, and when he came to the end of it, people might have thought that he'd failed. A former Jewish scholar and a Roman citizen executed by Nero, dying an ignominious death. But those who belong to Jesus are always on the winning side. So why are you in the race? What are you running it for? Are you clear what waits for you at the finishing line? Have you committed all that you are to Jesus? There's only one prize that's worth having. Amen.